Spirit, spirit, curious. 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 Welcome to Spiritorious Podcast with me, Josefina, and my sister Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hello, welcome.
And today we speak English again. It's quite unusual. But we have a couple of English episodes, and that's because we have sometimes international guests as today. So this intro will be in English so everyone can follow the whole episode. And we have had some extreme energies right now, Emma.
Yes, you can say that, yeah.
So we are...
We have both been very...
affected by this, this eclipse energy. And we are still in the eclipse portal today. On the 11th November, 11-11 today. So today is a real portal day. 11 is the number of the infinite, and it's really infinite possibilities. So take this opportunity today to meditate, to open yourself up and receive all of the possibilities, all of the miracles out there, because this is a portal. This is a really auspicious day. And what a day to release this very, very spiritorious, you could say, episode. Because this is a really, really spiritual and deep conversation with one of our, I would say she's one of our just favorite persons in the world. And she's back on the podcast. And it's Isabel von Fallois. She visited us in episode 13, where she shares very open-heartedly her whole story. So if you haven't listened to episode 13, maybe we suggest that you can go back to that episode and listen to that before you listen to this, but you can also start listening to this immediately. So you don't have to turn this off right now. probably it's meant to be that you were supposed to listen to this one before. So, but please, if you want to know more about Isabel and her story, go back to episode 13, because she has a very beautiful story that we don't want you to miss. And Isabel, she's really a mystic. She's a healer and she has such a high frequency. She's almost like an angel herself, but she works a lot with angels and the angels' healing energy. So she has angel life coach training. She has also channeled an Isis angel healing. And yes, and she's also doing Magdalene healing. She's working a lot with the Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ energies. And she's hosting a lot of retreats. She's also a Kundalini yoga teacher. And she also hosts the Sacred Women Sessions. And yes, she's also a pianist and an author. So she's doing a lot of things. So as we're in this eclipse portal, this eclipse season, and we are also now in the Scorpio season. And Scorpio is a lot about death and rebirth and transformation. We have Pluto governing the sign of Scorpio, and Pluto is the ruling planet, and Pluto is a lot about death and transformation. So it's really, really aligned that we started off the conversation with Isabel to talk about death, the fear of death, the fear of becoming ill. And we talked about her near-death experiences, and we were really curious to know more about them and what it's like to have a near-death experience. And she's had quite a few of them. So she shares about that in the beginning of the episode, which is very exciting. We talk about fear and fear of death, as I mentioned. And
and how to overcome fear.
Yes,
in our everyday life.
And she shares practices that we can do and how we can connect to Mary Magdalene, for example. She's like a... Yeah, she's the perfect healer to connect with if you feel that you're overwhelmed with fear. And she shares very practical tools to connect with her and to work with the fear. and to try to release the fear, because a lot of times we don't really need to carry that fear because it's not a real fear. So then we can connect to Mary Magdalene. She shares about that. And we also wanted to talk much more about Mary Magdalene, because we started off the last episode with Isabel talking about Mary Magdalene. And this is the year, this is a 6 year, it's the year of the Magdalene frequency. And that's so exciting. So we felt also that we really wanted to connect with Isabel again, because we now have a few weeks left in this year, the 6 year, the year of the arc line and the year of the Magdalene frequency. So we wanted to take the opportunity to talk more about Mary Magdalene and how we can connect to her during these final weeks of the year, because we really feel that her energy is so strong. It's so powerful, and it is bringing back the divine feminine to earth at this very pivotal moment in time. And it's so important, and it feels so extremely wonderful to be able to share this episode with you right now. And we talk also about the subtle body, and as I mentioned, the arc line, and we will also write something about, on Instagram, about the subtle body and the arc line. If you're not familiar with the subtle body and the arc line, you can also check it up on, you can always Google it, but we will also write some things about it. Yes, and I'm trying to keep this short because this episode is very long already.
Yeah,
but there are just some things left to, yes, we also,
some dark.
Yes, exactly. Joan of Arc, Jeanne d'Arc. We talked about her as well, and that powerful woman. And Isabel also, in the end of the episode, she shares a meditation where we connect to both Mary Magdalene and Joan of Arc, Jeanne d'Arc.
These powerful women.
And that's really, really, really powerful, and also perfect for this portal day, this 11/11 portal, with infinite opportunities, possibilities, and it's a perfect day for manifestation as well. 11 is a very powerful number. It's a master number, and it's a number of manifestation. Spiritorious, 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 spiritorious. Well, now I'm going to stop talking. Sorry about my... my talking, but I'm so excited about this episode and so happy that we have Isabel back. She is wonderful and she has so much wisdom. Now I will pause and we will welcome our wonderful and beautiful Isabel von Falwa. So welcome back to the podcast, Isabel von Falwa.
I'm so happy to be back with the two of you. I love you both so much. It's such an honor. Merci.
And merci to you. We are so happy to have you here again. It feels so aligned. And yes, it's just so lovely to see you.
True. Same here.
We are sitting here on Zoom and we have our little Zoom space, but we feel like you are with us, really. So that's, it's so lovely. And Emma, maybe, I don't know if we told you, Isabel, but after maybe we did that in the intro in the last episode, but you have really appeared in both of our lives after we did the interview in different ways.
This is so beautiful. I'm so happy to know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so amazing. I think the day after our last interview, you just popped up in my dream, and it was so comforting for me to have you there. And you were like by my side for such a long time after the interview. It was so beautiful.
Oh, I'm so touched to know that and to hear that. And that's what I say. If you need me, or if you on a soul level call me, I appear.
Yeah. It was so beautiful because we ended the last interview or the conversation with that we said that we wanted to have you by our side all the time. then the next day you just
you were there.
Magic. Instant proof.
Instant proof.
Yeah,
that's the way. Like you, I remember you said last time that probably because of all of my near-death experiences, I'm so close to all that beings and my subtle body is so very strong. And it's also like, let's say a skill set of the subtle body to be able to be in different places at the same time. Probably, as you said, really about these near-death experiences, this made really a big difference for me and for everyone around me, because the subtlety is different of a being who was so close to the blue ethers than of other people. It's not better, it's just different, you know?
Interesting.
And I think this is the ability which comes from there, from that other space. Like, you know, you can call the beings who are up in forest blue ether. And I had these experiences. I didn't have only near-death experiences. I was already kind of dead and not breathing anymore. So I was really through all the levels, as I have already told in some events. So I can really, really say what Yogi Bhajan told is true, because I have been there.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So do you want to share something that you experienced?
Yes, I can. You know, it was very, very different when I just had a very normal near-death experience where you go through that tunnel and you see that incredible light and you are on the other side and everything is just so beautiful and the colors are so amazing that I really don't have human words for it. This was a lot of times I had this experience and it was very, very beautiful. But when I was much, 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 much deeper, I really had exactly what Yogi Bhajan wrote, but I hadn't read it before. That you really arrive and there's a path which looks very, very lovely. And the other one looks very, very icy and cold and snowy. And I knew, I can't tell you why, I just knew I had to take the snowy way. And I had only this very, very thin white gown. I had nothing on my feet. It was very, very cold and I was there, but I knew I had to take this. And here, by this happened, I didn't breathe anymore. So I was there and all of a sudden, like Jesus Christ appeared and he took me on his arms and was carrying me and was carrying me behind the veil. So where all the high council is waiting, and they were helping me to look back into my life, especially into my mistakes. So it really showed me everything which was not good. And it was quite tough because I saw, okay, I've done some big mistakes in my life. And then it was kind of clear, okay, this was the first Luisa. And we go in the next level where you really get some other clothes and where you really start to land there. And I knew, okay, this is probably really my dad. There were all these beautiful beings. And then they brought me again further, further, further. And there was only light. There was only light. But it took quite a while because really looking back at your whole life, I mean, I'm half a century, more than half a century already now. I mean, then I was a little bit less, but you have experienced a lot.
Yeah.
And you really see incredible stuff you thought is long forgotten, you know? So it was tough. And the point was, I was so far gone that my husband couldn't reach me anymore from this side. I was so far gone. He never had seen me so far gone. But he had this incredible, intuitive, perfect idea to to write one of my closest friends who has an incredible subtle body.
Mm.
And he has an incredible force because he's one who's a very famous dancer, ballet dancer. And he has this discipline. So he has this like this diagonal force if he wants to. And he reached me there. He came through with his mind, with his thoughts, with his prayers. And he reached me and he brought me back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But normally you don't come back. If you don't have a person in your life who has this incredible subtlety of a subtle body, mm-hmm. no one can reach you anymore, so far gone. But he brought me back. So this was not a normal near-death experience. This was much more. And I had two of these. Mm-hmm. So I really know you really get to see what you did not right. I yeah. really know it. It's not easy peasy there. It's really, no, I don't know whether you say that, but it's really, you have to really know that whatever you do on this side counts there, and you take it as karma with you. You have to be aware of the good things and the not so good things. And in that two times over there, I thought I knew already before, but then I think I really got it. How important every single thought is, how important every single word is, how important every single act is, and how important every single reaction is. Yeah. It's made really a huge difference to read experiences like that.
Yeah, and that is also what you teach a lot, that be very mindful with your words. Be very mindful with your thoughts, because they, as you say, they matter. Yes. And I really take that in. And it's so good that you remind us of that, I think, because it's so easy to just, you know, just run through the day.
Yeah.
Without even yeah. thinking about what you say. I, you know, some days you don't even remember what happened today.
No, exactly. So, and you're so fast with judging yourself.
Yeah.
With your thoughts and with your words and...
Yes. And you always should be aware, you know, we are the hardest on ourselves, mostly everyone.
Mm.
And you always should think, in the moment you start judging yourself, would you say or think these words, these things about someone you truly love, about the most beloved person in your life, your best friend, your lovely sister, whosoever you, I don't know. Would you say this or think this about them? And if you don't do it, stop it immediately. Mm. I mean, stop it anyway, but yes. you get what I want to say.
Yeah.
And the point is, you know, this was very, very interesting. As I told you before, I'm just coming back from our 5-day warrior training, and we were talking a lot about the three minds, like the three minds in the Kundalini technology. And I was especially talking about that most of the people just speak without thinking before.
Mm.
They just speak. Mm. They're not aware about their voice. They are not aware about how they breathe, because they are not really present. They just talk from the subconscious mind.
Mm.
You know, we all do this from time to time.
Yes.
That's normal. But if someone like just talks without stopping, without listening 1 second what you are saying, or that you don't even say anything, it's the subconscious mind overload. And if you look now at the people after these 2.5, I would say quite interesting years we went through, you see a lot of people with the subconscious mind overload.
Mm.
I don't know how it is in Sweden, but I see it here a lot. Mm. What would you say? I think it's more than before.
Yes, definitely.
Mental wellness, and how it's called outside, the mental health,
mm.
really got like a strike for many, many, many people. Mm. So we are the lucky ones, to be honest. We can be so grateful that we know about meditation, that we know about these beings, that we know about Kundalini yoga. I mean, we are really the lucky ones, the blessed ones.
Definitely. And I've been, you know, grateful for that every day during this whole period.
Yes.
We have actually talked a lot about that, you and me, Josefina, that we are so happy for the techniques and technology, the Kundalini yoga that has helped us take us through all of these hysteric times.
Yes, exactly. And stay out of the fear, I would say. You know, stay very centered and you know, much in the neutral mind, and just be like, because the fear, I think, caught so many people during this time. So, and when you come from fear, it's, that's not a good thing.
No, because you can't make really, not, I don't want to say smart, but you can't make wise decisions when you are in fear. You never should take a decision as long as you're in this state of fear. Never, ever, because it will never be for your highest good. Never, ever.
Mm.
Besides, there are some very, let's say, how do you say? I just don't have the English word present. There are very rare cases where you need to be fearful when you're truly in danger because someone is around the corner wants to kill you.
Mm.
I hope it's not the case for most of the people, but I had it in my as I don't know whether I told last time, but in my very small circle, two people have been killed. So I'm aware about these things, they can happen. So I know in my case, if I really get fearful, then there's really something dangerous. But normally I don't get fearful. So for me, it's always a sign there's really danger because I'm not a fearful person, you know?
Mm.
So I'm trained not to have fear.
Mm.
So when fear comes in, I know it's really a sign from above.
You know, it's real fear. You know,
it's real fear. It's supposed to be fearful. Non-reality fear, how we say in Kundalini yoga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I always, and when I think about fear, when I get, you know, anxiety for some, you know, like 3D thing that I know deep down inside that, okay, this is, I shouldn't worry about this. Then I actually always think about a quote, I think it's from Yogi Bhajan, where he says, just bring the fear to the top of your head and then just drop it.
That's
so
beautiful.
It's something like that. It's not exact quote, but something like that. So just bring the fear up and then I just then drop it. When it's not that real fear that you're talking about them, but most of the times you can just bring the fear to the top of your head and then just drop it.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know, there's also something you can do with Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
In the moment, like you really feel from wherever some fear is coming up. It can be real fear, can be non-reality fear. Doesn't matter. But you just stop in that moment and you call her in and you ask her to surround you with her powerful red golden light and you just breathe it in and you come into the here and now. And then in that moment, when you're back in the here and now, with her light, with breathing deeply, you ask yourself, is this fear real?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just future tripping? Or am I back in a past experience? Is this fear real? And most of the people who do this exercise realize that 90% of the fears, or even more, are not real.
Mm.
You know, this fear of becoming ill, this fear of becoming, or this fear of dying, it's in the future, it's not here.
Mm.
Is there here in this moment truly a reason to be fearful? Mostly not.
Mm.
No.
And today I was coming across another quote of Yogi Bhajan, which fits, as we know, today is his day of death when we are recording this, which is again a beautiful, not coincidence, I would say a beautiful synchronicity, because we met through Kundalini yoga.
Yes.
But I came across this quote and it says, I want to say it correctly. Give me a second. It here. He says, no one wants to save their soul. All they want to do is save their face. This is incredible. Because if it's about how you look, how you might appear, how you might how people might like you, you're always in the outside. But if you ask yourself, how much can I give in that experience from my soul? How much? It's not important whether your hair looks great or whether you, I don't know, you get me, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But in this so interesting society with this social media surface mentality showing these pictures and reels. I mean, this is a very strange rule. You make reels, sometimes not even about something interesting, just to have one and get the attention of people. What has this to do with soul? It has just to do with receiving attention, with showing your face. And it is not deep. It is not what about life is truly.
Mm.
Made me really think today, also when I was preparing to see the two of you, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's that we try to be in the best flow to give people ideas where they can look at life in a different way and look deeper, look higher.
So true.
And especially on a day of death, and we were speaking about near-death experiences, it's what most people forget because they think with their death, life is gone, everything is gone. But if you truly believe in past lives or in future lives, in reincarnation, then it's everything you do now has already an impact on your future lives, you know?
Yeah.
And this makes everything totally different. And I don't know whether you know, I received from above a tool which is called future regressions, where I bring people into their future lives and they see their future lives and they see their karma, the karma they brought with them concerning money, the karma they brought with them concerning health, the karma they brought with them concerning relationships. It's very, very interesting. And a lot of people who did this with me changed their lives completely. And even me, when I did my very, very first future regression, I saw myself being so thin, not starving, but so thin. I looked so overworked that I had the most beautiful husband, but I was not able to receive a child because I was so overworked. And when I realized that quite some years ago, I decided I won't work 7 days a week, 24/7 every single day, because my health and my whole life in the next life will not be nice if I go on like that, beating up my body to work, whether it wants or not. And it changed everything for me to see what I was doing with my body in concern of my future or future lives.
That's so interesting. Future regression.
Yep.
I love it.
This is incredible. And I think I may tell this story too, just to give people an idea how important is what we do here now in this lifetime. Another person who received a future regression, she saw herself being a very famous sportsman. I think it was baseball. I don't remember. But the point was, she, as the man in the future life, had an accident and was in a wheelchair. And because of her behavior in today's life, not being able to really talk openly to people, in the future life, when she didn't have the fame anymore, she was in a wheelchair and she was completely alone, isolated. And this was the moment for her in this lifetime here to learn to communicate with people more deeply, not just about superficial stuff, but about what was really going on in her. And she created real relationship for the very first time in her life. So I could tell a lot of stories, but I think whether you believe in it or not, but it may also be a metaphorical trip journey, you know? Yes. We can put it like that. I mean, I believe, but no one has to believe. You can just put it like that. But you see something about yourself which you wouldn't recognize if you just looked at yourself from that perspective in this life now.
Yeah, and irrespective of whether you believe exactly or not, you would get, you would get, you know, an enhanced life in this life.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying you don't need to believe, but these trips, these journeys with the angels, and the very interesting thing is, you at the end in these journeys, you receive the book of your Akashic record.
Mm-hmm.
And you can change something because you realize something. Mm. Because not everything in the future is already written in stone. You understand? So if you change your behavior right now, right here, because you have a severe insight, everything changes there too.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
So interesting and also so hopeful.
Yeah.
Also, you can do so much to change your life now.
Yeah. Did you know? Because this information I have never heard from the teachers who showed me Kundalini Yoga, but I have found these informations. Did you know that below your feet is the most part of your subtle body, and that there's your own Akashic record? You have it right below your feet, so you really have to take care of your feet. Did you know that?
No.
I have heard that the feet is very, very important. Yeah,
it makes total sense. And if you see it again from that, from different perspectives, now for me it made so much sense by the ballet dancers who jump so much, where the feet and of the ballerinas and are so important. Why these are the people with the most subtle bodies, and who feel the most. I have many friends in that realm, so I see the difference to normal people, you know. And they have subtle bodies like most of the people don't have a clue of, you know. It's so, they feel things. And it's because of that, there is something with these feet.
Yeah. Wow. So everyone, we need to take care of our feet. Very important. Walking barefoot in the nature and letting the feet feel our Mother Earth. Exactly. I think that you know, then you connect your subtle body to the earth, and I guess that would be, I think that we need that more. I just felt that
walking with naked feet in the water, in the ocean, in the lakes.
Yes,
this is just, I mean, of course the subtle body is all around us, but I didn't know that there is our Akashic records stored.
No.
And the student of Yogi Bhajan told that Yogi Bhajan said, if you are close to a master or someone with a very, very high subtle body, you should try to get your head like 60 centimeters underneath the feet. And Yogi Bhajan, very often when he was already ill in his last year, had the feet up like that on a kind of couch or sofa. So the student always tried to get some dust away and come under with his head underneath his feet. And it is said that when you come underneath the feet of a master or a saint with your arc lines, you can ask a question, and this question will always be answered. And this again brings me to the number 6 of our year 2022, and the Magdalene frequency and the arc line.
And the earth line. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we truly realize that our arc line is not just, this sounds so funny. It's, of course, it's the halo, the light around us, but it is also one of the most protective shields we can have. So if we really have this very, very strong arc line, not only the negativity from outside can't come truly inside of us, but our own negativity, our own interesting thoughts, let's put it that way, can melt into positive thoughts because our arc line is strong. And to reach this, we have a lot of Kundalini options. But one very, very, very powerful option is to do a lot of bows every day.
A lot of bows.
A lot of. And also, if you come from the tradition of Mary Magdalene, I just do it now, just to give you an idea. You sit on your heels, and you just do like 3 minutes of bowing, and you think you have Mary Magdalene in front of you, and you really tune into her energy. And your Akan gets activated when you do the bowing, but even more, your third eye gets stimulated and your brain starts working in a total different way. You get much more present and you will be the whole day in a different, let's say, energy than if you don't do that.
Interesting. So, do you also go down and touch the head?
I go down. I really go down with the third eye.
Yes,
I do. And of course, you can do it with a yogic master. But of course, I'm as much yoga. I love yoga so much. But of course, I can't. I mean, my angels and my sacred beings are at least as close to me. So of course, I do it for Mary Magdalene, or if I feel I need Jesus Christ's energy.
Yeah,
I bow in front of his feet, you know.
Yeah.
But what you receive going down, because these holy beings have the third arc line, the triple arc line on the feet. Again, we have the feet.
The feet again.
They have the triple arc line on the feet. So,
but if just explain to our listeners, because I don't think everyone here is familiar with what an arc line is.
Yes, I would love to. Every human being has two ears normally.
Yes.
And from earlobe to earlobe, above, going around the head, you have the so-called arc line, which male beings and female beings have. Every being, whatever gender you are or whatever gender you feel to be. And this is a very powerful energetic body, as we say in Kundalini yoga. And this is the way you can be protected if it's strong, and it is the way you can project, not in the sense of Sigmund Freud, but positive energy. You can project energy to create things in your life, for your life, also for other people. And the normal people who don't meditate, who don't know about all these things, doesn't need to be yoga, but who don't know about spirituality, who don't know about higher beings, who just live a very normal life, sometimes you can't even see the arc line. It's just nearly not there. And if you're a very elevated being, you can get the frequency of the arc line, which is 3.5. And I was always thinking when Guru Jagat was talking in Mallorca, on Mallorca, about this 3.5 thing, I thought, how does she come to that number? I had no clue. So I tried to explain it. So the point is, the frequency comes how fast, like a line 8 goes in seconds through the arc line. And and if you have a very fast and high frequent arc line, it's like 3.5, but mostly no one has that. We need to try to come somewhere there. The normal person has like 0.5, and someone who does yoga daily, meditates daily, is vegetarian, they say, is about 1.5. But Yogi Bhajan said that we need a higher frequency in these Aquarian times, because we get so much inflow through technology. So our nervous systems are so much more, let's say, they get so much stimulated, much more stimulation than 5 or 10 years before. So if the frequency is not high enough, your nervous system will crash down.
Yeah,
and that's
overwhelmed.
That's what we have seen. Overload, exactly. Overload, stimulation and overload. Exactly. Thank you so much. And when we do our Kundalini yoga, our prayers, our meditation, our positive thoughts, then we can rise this frequency.
Yeah.
And then we have no problem with our nervous system, which is very important too in these very fast times.
Very important, I would say. And how? And then you say that the arc line is connected to the number 6.
Yes.
And this, we have a 6 year to this year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Again, we come back to the Kundalini. But the funny thing is, before I was in the Kundalini, I also had this kind of numerology in a different way, but with the holy beings.
Yeah.
And So it's very funny. So it would be six also from that side, like it's six from the Kundalini side. So this may be important for the people to know that we are not only on the Kundalini side, exactly. but we are real. So exactly. So the point is, in Kundalini yoga, you say like we have 10 bodies, and the first body is the soul. The second body is the negative mind. The third body is the positive mind. The fourth body is the neutral or meditative mind. The fifth body is the physical body. The sixth body is the arcline or the arclines. I will go deeper later. The seventh body is the aura. The eighth body is the pranic body. The ninth body is the subtle body. And the tenth is the radiant body. Mm. Yes. And the point is, what is also not so well known is that you only can develop the really higher bodies, like the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth, if you have a strong arcline. So when you look outside, and there are a lot of, let's say, celebrities and stars, it's rarely the radiant body what we see which draws us into them. It's their aura, because not every one of them has a subtle and a radiant body. You know? And you can really see the difference if someone has this huge incredible aura, this incredible charisma, which also draws maybe thousands, millions, I don't know, people into that aura. And then there are people who are different. They have also this incredible aura, but it's much less ego, because you also sometimes need a huge ego to be like famous, because you have to have this mentality. I want to be a rock star. Yeah. I want to be a pop star. I want, you know, but there are other people out there who are at least as radiant, let's put it that way. And that's then the real radiant body, and it's not the aura. And the deeper you go, the more you see, but it all starts with the arcline. That's what I really found out in the last years. And when we really understand that every single one of us has this kind of halo, which we see on these old paintings of the masters like Raphael, Botticelli, and we see these incredible halos around the saints, around Jesus, around the angels, then we realize, I mean, every one of us human beings, not the humanoids or aliens, you know, but us humans, has the possibility to develop that halo. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that really mean, if you really go deeply into that, that God lives within us, that we are divine? And this is a huge chance in this year, in this arcline year, and with Mary Magdalene, to really go through the fear and come out the other side of the coin, and to step into this incredible courage, into this fearlessness, and then really understand God is within me. I don't need to search somewhere there. Everything is what I need. Everything is within me. I'm sacred. I'm holy. I have a halo. Isn't that beautiful?
That's so beautiful. And isn't that also one of the teachings of Mary Magdalene, that the thing that God is actually within?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And she wanted the people to understand that everyone is divine.
Yeah.
That everybody has all the knowledge within.
Yes.
Within. We only have to go really deeply within.
Yes.
And she was the one who really wanted people to understand that there are no limits in growing. But to be able to go there, you have to become fearless and you have to become deathless.
Yes, very important.
Wow. And we have less than 90 days left of this incredible year. And you also say, like, this year of the sixth and the arcline is about our destiny. So we really, really, really should go within once again this year and to ask ourselves, is that what we are doing? Is that what we are giving energy to? Is that really our highest destiny? Or is it some kind of distraction?
Mm. That's so good.
Spiritorious, 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 spiritorious.
We have 90 days now left of this year, and I really wanted to also tap into why this year is the year of the Magdalene frequency as well. But can you just give our listeners, before that, I just wanted to go into a little bit of the history of Mary Magdalene, because I don't think everyone knows about it. And just want to, because we have been talking a lot about Mary Magdalene, and I just feel that if you could just tell us a little bit about her, and give us an historical context, I think that would be so lovely.
She was never a normal woman. She was no normal girl. She was from a, let's say, very wealthy family and kind of royal family in these times. So she had opportunities normal women didn't have at that time. And so she learned languages when no one learned other languages. She traveled with her father to the most mystic places. And it's really known if you go deeper into her, into research about her way, about her past, you find out she was having yogic teachings. She was there. She was a lot in Egypt for a long time, every single year, to go in the mystery schools, to really become a kind of a priestess and to go into these deep teachings and initiations about death. Because of course, it was already known that she would be there at the cross when Jesus Christ would be crucified. So she had to be prepared, because otherwise you cannot imagine to stand there and have the courage and stay till the end, you know. The apostle didn't, but Mother Mary did, and Mary Magdalene did. So she was really a very, very, very well-educated, let's say in the human sense, girl and woman, and she was deeply into all the mysteries. And also Mother Mary, who was deeply into all the mysteries, she was the one who was a mentor of Mary Magdalene. So when Mary Magdalene met Jesus, she was much more than we got to see in the Bible. And I'm absolutely not against the Bible. So I because there are a lot of people who say there's all wrong there. No, it's not. You have to know to read it. And a friend of mine who really knows Aramaic, she sees, of course, much more because she can read it in Aramaic. So it's very, very interesting if you go deep into that. But what we received about her is too small. She was really a noble woman. And I don't mean it in an arrogant way. I mean it from a very high level of mind way, you know, not because of the vows. I mean it from here, from that sense. So when she met Jesus, or let's say Jesus Christ, because there's also a difference between Jesus and Jesus Christ, when she met him, she was prepared. She was not one who was a sinner. She was not one who was a prostitute. We know that, but just for the people who maybe don't know the context. And there's this part where it says like seven demons were taken out of that woman, and some people think it was her. If it was her, then you can see it differently. Maybe seven interesting energies, because people didn't like that she was who she was, were taken by Jesus out of her chakras. I don't say that I'm right, but you can sing about it. And also the scene when she takes this jar of this alabaster jar with the sacred spikenard oil to really anoint his feet. This has a totally different meaning than most people think. They thought, oh, she took this so expensive oil just to use for his feet. I mean, is she crazy? You know, like the people also said in the Bible. So to make it more normal, I don't say it perfectly right in the right wording of the Bible. But if you know what spikenard oil is, if you know that spikenard oil takes out trauma, out of the feet. If you know what she knew that he would go through on the cross with his feet, you understand why she anointed his feet. So he would be prepared for the crucifixion, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you go deep, 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 she was one of, you say, you call them Mirafore. She was a priestess also of the oils. So she exactly knew, she had a wisdom very rarely people have today about how to use oils to help for very specific or difficult situations. And she knew.
Yeah.
She knew she was prepared for the destiny because Jesus Christ was prepared. So she knew too, you know.
Also, I thought I should mention that she was in, it's said that she was a woman, you know, like being around Jesus, but she, it's now said a lot that she was actually his wife.
Yes, you can say that. I would say I believe that.
Yeah.
I can't totally prove it. Totally prove it because it's not about that.
Yeah.
But the point is, when you look into this wedding of Cana in the Bible, and when you see painters, famous painters, famous paintings of the Middle Eve,
mm-hmm.
normally only a woman is allowed to anoint someone if it's the one she's going to marry. You know, it's all... it's all hidden. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you see much more than the official version. I think she was his wife, his beloved, and as we know now, even the Catholic Church now says it, she was definitely the apostle of the apostles.
Yes,
she was, and she was the first who saw the risen Christ. She was the one, no one else. This is, I mean, what a sign.
Yeah.
She was there. And she saw that the tomb is empty, but all of a sudden he appeared. And the point that he said, "Noli me tangere," don't touch me, was not because she was not pure enough.
No.
The point was he had to leave. And if she had touched him, he couldn't leave. He had to leave into other dimensions. But she got to see him. I mean, this is so touching, if you imagine. And she was the one then going to the apostles. You know, they were totally afraid, the male apostles, they were totally afraid that if they go out preaching about the way of love and about Jesus' words, that they would be killed. Of course, Mary Magdalene knew this would be possible. Of course she knew. But she was the one to say, but it's our mission to go out there and talk about what Jesus Christ taught us. We have to go out and we have to preach and to show the people the path of love and the path of forgiveness. Because what most people don't realize, through Jesus Christ and his action on the cross, this was the moment when forgiveness came down onto planet Earth. Before, it didn't exist. I hit you here, you hit me there, you know, it was like that. But in the moment when the murderer was hanging next to him, he was saying, "Please, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." In that moment, and then with his blood going into the earth, in that moment, forgiveness came on planet Earth. And forgiveness is one of the highest virtues a human being can have. And it is not, and this is so important to understand, it is not about saying the action maybe someone did towards you was right, but you set yourself free. Otherwise, you stay all the time in prison of something which happened maybe long ago. So forgiveness is one of the most powerful healing tools you can use in your life.
Yes, and you also shared that in our last episode, that that was such a huge part of your healing journey, that you went, that you felt that you needed to go back and to forgive all of the people in your life.
Yeah.
You hadn't forgiven yet. So, so important with forgiveness, really.
And so this is something, you know, he died in that moment. But she got that teaching because she was right there hugging the cross when he was hanging there. Yeah. So she received like the teaching directly into her crown, into her arc line. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Holding the cross. I mean, she was there like this, holding the cross.
Hugging the cross, really.
Hugging the cross with her red coat and looking up and receiving this incredible teaching of someone who is dying, who has the most terrible pain we can ever imagine. Being able to forgive in the moment of the death is, I mean, hello.
Amazing.
This is just more than human.
Yes. And then
divine.
Yeah. And then she continued the teachings, but she went, she had to flee. She had to flee. Yes. So right. she had to flee to France.
And she had it's a long way if you don't have if you just have a boat without paddles, without a veil, just like she was just on the ocean like that, and it was only by divine force she could make this way through all the dangers. And she on the way there to France, she was also in Egypt, where I believe she has born her daughter.
Yeah.
And
your daughter Sarah.
Sarah Tamar. And then they went further to France. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she lived in France in a cave.
Yes.
For like, 30 years, right?
33 years.
33 yeah. years. Oh, wow.
In that famous cave in Saint-Baume. Yeah. I have been to some very powerful places in this world, but for me, this grotto, this cave of hers, is still, till now, my most favorite place.
It is.
For me, I haven't been to Jerusalem, I have to be honest. So I think probably if you go there, it must be incredible to walk on their steps. To walk there, I think can be incredible experience. I hope I can make it in this lifetime. I don't know. But for me now, to be honest, this is the place where I don't know what it is, but it's like when I step into that place, it's like I see more than I normally do. I can really see with my physical eyes. This is normally it's the third eye, but I really, and even my best friend who was with me one time, she could also see like Mary Magdalene, she's Christ standing in front of me with her open eyes. It's beyond. This place is beyond.
Oh, wow.
And she was there, like, you can imagine that. I mean, again, the arc line, it was also that, as we said already the last time, is about the person of prayer. And she was there for 33 years praying. I mean, can you imagine such a high being with like the highest arc line frequency praying in that place? I mean, if you enter, you feel it. And she healed people. I mean, the people came up and all the kings. I mean, it's called the Chemin de Roi. It's called the Way of the Kings. So they really made pilgrimages to go to her. She was really someone. She was not just some crazy lady who was praying up there. No, she was really, for them, already a saint.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Very powerful. And also... I think it was the nephew of, I don't know, his name was Charles. He really wanted to find her bones, because in the 1300s, her bones were in the famous place church in Saint-Maximin, but the Saracens would come and fight against the people there. So the monks who lived there buried her in a different tomb. So her bones would, her relics would be there for everyone. And so everything had gone and nobody knew where this would be. And then it was very powerful. And I remembered it was in December when they when they found her, because this prince and nephew of the king really with his own hands took the earth, really helped everybody to find her tomb, you know, and they had put her in a different tomb. And then they found this scripture in this tomb written. These are the bones. This is the skeleton of Mary Magdalene.
Mm.
And we hid it, that you will find it, that you have her forever. It was so touching. It's really a true story. And the incredible thing was that her skeleton, everything was perfectly intact. It was just one thing at the jaw missing. And the other incredible thing was that right there where they thought it was Nolime Tangere when he used his hands, right there was a little bit of skin still there.
Wow.
And out of her mouth came the most beautiful plant smelling in a smell which was incredible, not bad, incredible.
Mm.
And so they knew this was the most incredible woman. And I think it's incredible that the prince really took his own hands into the earth to help to find her, you know?
Mm. Beautiful.
It's so touching. It's so touching. Mm. And so she really was in France. This was really the proof. And
yeah.
Yeah. And so her relics are still there. And so it's very powerful to really go there if you want to one day on a trip. And I'm the person, I don't like to do these things in big groups, even if I like the group. I'm the person to have to do these things totally alone.
Yeah.
Because if I'm with a group, I have to follow whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm alone, I can do everything what I receive from above and can stay 3 hours there or more if I need to, or and can do whatever. So I'm a little bit different. For some people, it's totally perfect to go there and chant in groups. For me, it's not. But it's probably, this is not better or worse, but it's just how I work. I need to do a lot of things alone.
Yeah.
That's how I work.
I feel you. I feel the same way.
Like you're free.
As well. But
yeah, exactly. This is the freedom.
Yes.
This is the Aries within me, you know.
Yeah.
Within me as well. I'm Aries rising.
Yeah,
I'm Sagittarius. I have a lot of Sagittarius as well.
You need your solitude.
And you know, it was very funny when I was in Brazil when I was 20 years old. It was the first time I met an astrologer. And I honestly, I didn't want to go because I didn't want to know something about the future. But then I fell in love so heartily in Rio de Janeiro. And I thought I should try to go to the astrologer everybody told me about, because this guy should be so incredible. And so, but he was booked and said, if you don't take an appointment right when you arrive, you will never have one. But so it was like a few days before I had to leave, go back home. I said, I need to go to this guy. And some person comes and I got an appointment. And this was one of the most weird and most powerful moments of my life. He opened the door. He just had my name. He had my date of birth, my place of birth, and the time of birth. And I walked into that room. I still remember his name, Valdemar. It's not a Brazilian name, but it was Valdemar. And he looked at me and said, you know what? You are a pianist or a singer. And I was like mouse dropping, you know, because at the moment I wanted to become a pianist and I had also singing lessons.
Mm.
So I was really astonished that he could see it from my birth chart. And then he said to me, you know, you're a very strange person. I've never seen that. I've seen thousands of horoscopes. Mm. Your personality is so extreme that one part of you is the person who really needs to be on a stage and standing in front of people. That's your personality. But on the same side, and as powerful as this one, is the other personality, which is being alone in a cave, meditating. And within 1 minute, you go back and forth between the two possibilities 100 and 1,000 of times.
Mm.
And that is because I'm teaching so much and I'm in front of people so much.
Mm-hmm.
When it's about these things, the rest of the time, I'm totally silent. I'm totally in solitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel alone. In German, you have this word allein, which means alone. And you have the word alleinsein, which means being one with all that is, which is nearly the same word.
Mm.
So for me, it is the most important to be alone every day.
Mm.
Even more when I become older.
Mm.
But I had enough in front of people in my life, you know.
And I think that's an important teaching as well. I think, you know, being alone. Some people can't even handle being alone because they don't want to be alone with themselves. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that just they just don't want to be alone. But I think when you can find that, you know, that word that you said in German, which is the one being one with all that is.
Yes, exactly.
And just being with yourself and just find the calmness and the ease in that and the love, and also find yourself, because you need also the calmness to really listen within. Exactly. And to be in your own heart. And I think that is also what Mary Magdalene taught, that
exactly.
You need to come down to your heart. You need to be in your heart. You need to live from your heart and speak from your heart.
True.
And also some kind of symbolism between, you know, the sacred marriage between Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ, and the mind and the heart that we need.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you can again go to this incredible, beautiful symbol, the Vesica Piscis.
Yes.
The two circles, and which is so much an Avalon, you know, as you know. And then you have the one side is the feminine, the other side is masculine. And one side, if you want, is the heart, and the other one side, it is the mind. And in the middle, both become one.
Mm.
And then we are at the pure relationship we wish to have in our lives, right?
Yes.
And we are there. Mm. And we need the solitude, we need the time to be alone, to then be really powerful and loving in the moments we are with people or with our beloveds. Because if we don't have that time alone, they get all the baggage we have on top of their shoulders.
Mm. So true.
Mm.
And like you said, a lot of people can't be alone. They can't be alone because in the moment they are alone, all the negative thoughts come up.
Mm.
And if you can't deal with them, if you don't have breath work, if you don't have meditation whatsoever, then you need alcohol, then you need community.
Mm. Yes.
And but like Mary Magdalene there in this cave, I mean, 33 years. Mm. A lot of solitude.
A lot.
But a lot of raising of her frequency. And at the end, she was a total Christed being. Because she really got, I mean, for me, there's another golden chain. And this is the golden chain which starts with Jesus. And she is the female part of that golden chain. And then comes the daughter, and then long later we come, you know. But
yes.
the point is, this is also a golden chain.
Mm.
And she was like the female part of the golden chain.
Yeah.
And she brings like the divine feminine Christ energy onto this planet, which is so important, because also Jesus Christ always knew it will be the women who will change the world.
Mm.
And so he truly initiated her in a way. I mean, she was already very high frequency, had a very high frequency when she met him, but he initiated her into this incredible leader, but this leader which didn't need to prove anything in the outside, this leader who could stand to be alone, but had such a high frequency that she changed the whole energy of France. And then came Jeanne d'Arc, who changed again the whole energy of France, you know, which is also part of this golden chain of the Christed line.
Yeah, can you just share a little bit of Jeanne d'Arc?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time.
So interesting.
It was so powerful just last week in the training. Of course, if you talk about a warrior training, Jeanne d'Arc, of course, who is until now the most young general in history. She was below 20 years when she was a general of an army of 10,000 of men. You know, with below 20, can you imagine that?
Mm.
And she had this incredible sword she never used for killing. She just had it as an energy. It was just such an incredible story. But what was very, very touching was when we were in this warrior training one evening, she appeared in meditation. And we got to see the moment. We got to see the moment in the meditation when she was still a girl, not so old. I mean, a teenager, and Archangel Michael appeared to her and told her about her mission. The whole group, I mean, and I, we were touched to tears to see this moment when this kind of normal girl received this message. She had to liberate France and she had to lead an army.
Mm. I mean,
but her trust, and this is something we truly can learn from her,
mm-hmm.
her trust into God, into the divine, into the angels was not human-like. It was from the beginning unconditional. And this was the reason why she then immediately started to find the people, to go to the right people, to say she had this vision and she had to do this. I mean, can you imagine? And what she had to go through. I mean, the people of the church didn't believe her that she was a virgin. So she had to go under these tests where they looked into, you know, can you imagine lying there as a pure girl and everyone is looking, the people of the church looking into your, I don't want to say everything because it's terrible enough, you know. But she had to undergo these tests again and again and again to prove that she's a virgin and she didn't have kind of intercourse with the devil. It was crazy. But her trust and her deep, deep, deep wisdom that this was her mission was so deep that she went through all of that and she didn't stop, because she knew how to do that. And then she started to prove to the king and showed, I have to do this and we have to do this. And can you imagine a girl below 20 years telling 10,000 men, you don't go and sleep with prostitutes during the war. You don't go and drink alcohol. That kind of arc line, that kind of radiant body, this was a Christ being, otherwise impossible.
Mm.
And they didn't do it.
Yeah,
they went to pray. They didn't lay with prostitutes. They didn't drink.
They listened to her, yeah.
They listen to that girl. Can you imagine that kind of arc line, that kind of power? And if you look at her name, Jeanne d'Arc, arc, we have the arc line in there.
Yes, so true.
Isn't that powerful? And she is part of this, you can say, of the Christed line, of the golden chain of this. And she's also, the others speak about the Magdalene order. She's also part of that. So, she had this beautiful thing. How do you say in English? The flag, you know, the gold, the white flag with the golden fleur-de-lis with the golden sword on it. And there were only two names on that flag she always took with her into the war.
Mm-hmm.
There were written, was written, is written, Jesus and Mary. You can think about Mother Mary, but it can also be Mary Magdalene, because you can also say Mary from Magdala.
That's so true.
So she is incredible because, again, a total different personality than Mary Magdalene. The one was like becoming the saint, the healer, the mystic, and the other one being the warrior, but the same kind of trust, the same knowledge that she could be killed every single moment, but fulfilling their missions without doubts. There were no doubts. And the motto, this famous motto of Jeanne d'Arc was always, I have no fear. I was born to do this. Isn't that powerful?
Mm. So powerful. And that's, I guess that would be a part of that energy that comes in this year for us to be able to, you know, to tap into their energy and to tap into this fearlessness.
Yes.
That frequency of love and fearlessness this year.
Exactly.
To dare to go towards our true destiny.
Exactly.
Without fear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if you really tap into these powerful lady energies.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that so hopeful for us?
Yeah.
So hopeful.
Exactly.
And we also need the divine feminine here on earth so much right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Because there's still so much patriarchy up there, right?
Yeah.
But you're so right. And we have to be so careful that we don't have the inner patriarchy within us, telling us we are not that enough, we are not that enough, we are not that enough. I mean, you know, we have to stop it. And so if we have these incredible role models and watch them, what do you think?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make a big change?
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely. And I just also wanted to ask you about the number 22, as we're in the year 22 right now. Mm-hmm. Does that number also have something to do with Mary Magdalene?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's her day of death.
Ah, okay.
Then 22nd of July.
Mm.
It's okay. Also her, now it's her the day when she gets celebrated. And the 22 again is very interesting because it's a master number.
Mm.
And we have the 11, we have the 22, we have 33 as we go on. And the 2 is always about together.
Mm.
Being able to bring things or people together about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So she is here to show us, and this is so very interesting for me, that we can't go from patriarchy to matriarchy because we have already seen that this doesn't work either. But Mary Magdalene is the one to show us if we really want to change this world, we, the women, have to do everything to balance within us the masculine and the feminine.
Mm.
Because in these times, women are so accustomed to be so masculine.
Mm.
So doing, 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 next guideline, next deadline, next, I don't know, goal. And to get this done.
Mm. Yeah.
But honestly, this is a masculine trait.
Mm.
I don't say that women shouldn't fulfill their goals and shouldn't be successful. I am not saying that. But we should do it in a different way.
Mm, yeah.
We should do it not like this.
No.
Like that, 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 that to-do list. We should do it with the flow of nature. We should do it with the flow of our cycles. We should learn to be receptive and know when we need to push, when we need to stop, when we need to act, when we need to wait. You know, because the woman is the one who is receptive. And Mary Magdalene says, only when the women of the world learn to become true women again, truly receptive, we can change the world because we hold the mysteries in our womb space. So if we act like a man, how can all the wisdom we have here within since centuries, lifetimes, incarnations, how can this wisdom truly come out if we try to be successful like a man?
It's impossible.
Impossible. We won't come into a better place. So we need to learn to understand that, of course, we can be able to fulfill our goals, our deadlines, whatsoever. But we as women We really have the obligation, the civil duty, would like Guru Jagat would say, we have the civil duty, this is now my words, that we have to take this time to be receptive again. Because only then we get the answers we need to change the world for the better.
Yes. So important.
And then we don't compete anymore with the man. And they don't fear us anymore. Yeah. And then we get peace.
Yeah.
Because we don't need to compete with men.
No.
Not at all. They are wonderful. We are wonderful.
Mm. Exactly.
And we need to find this way together, like the Vesica Piscis, where we meet in the middle. It is truly important to really, really, really go into our feminine qualities and to honor the masculine in the man. So they can be true men, we can be true women. Mm. And who feels in between can also bring both sides in balance. It's all about balance now. It's not about against. It's not a war against. It's not a warrior fighting against. So this warrior spirit, what I'm talking about, and what is Shandak also, is that we overcome our own limits, our own limitations in our minds, our own limitations we have or think we have in our bodies, with our bodies.
Mm.
And if we go into that space where everything becomes possible, because our trust, our faith in the divine is beyond limits, is not like a human, but unconditional. When we go into that faith, then we truly can change the world. And this for me is so important, to have these both incredible female figures, these role models like Mary Magdalene and Jeanne d'Arc for this year of the six. And the interesting thing is probably Jeanne d'Arc is also born on January 6th. Here we have the six again. It's her soul number.
Six again. Wow.
So her soul number is about strengthening her arc line. And what an halo had this girl. Mm. We are talking about her so many centuries later.
Wow, and, amazing.
And so to truly change this world, we don't need a warrior spirit to fight against someone. But we need this to overcome our own insecurities, to overcome our own not enoughness, to overcome all of this. Because honestly, it's about truly see that we are much stronger than we think, but not in this comparison and concurrent thinking way, but in the way that we really can build a new world if we change our attitude about success, about fame, about what is truly necessary in this world.
Mm.
And what is truly necessary is that every one of us, wherever we are, whatever we do, it doesn't matter, that we become the most peaceful version of ourselves, that we make peace with our own thoughts, that we make peace with our past, that we make peace with our bodies, that we make peace with our family, we make peace with everything. Because when we live peace, only then we can give peace to the world. Because yes, peace starts with every one of us.
Mm.
No one else.
Yeah.
How can you call in the frequency and the energy of these two wonderful ladies during your day? In everyday life?
Shall we do that as the ending? That's to bring them in both? Shall
yes.
we do that?
Yes,
I think that would be a beautiful ending. Let's do it. I think it's a great idea.
Yay!
Spiritorius. Open eyes, look towards your third eye, and breathe in deeply. And while closing your eyes, breathe out deeply. And give your brain the command to go automatically into a deep, relaxed and very mindful state. And just breathe and connect with your breath, the divine gift which always nurtures you, which always carries you, which always can heal you. Breathe, beloved soul. And let your thoughts go by like clouds in the sky. And just know you are safe. And in this moment, you can feel the energy changing and a lot of beautiful, powerful beings appear around you. Angels, unicorns, and other high beings. And you can see Archangel Michael watching above all of you and protecting you. And then you see two incredible, beautiful, powerful, radiant, strong, and incredible loving women. One is Mary Magdalene, surrounded by her beautiful red golden aura and enfolded in her red coat. And she stands there in the most beautiful glory, surrounded by a golden aura. And next to her, in armor, but not less shining, is Shan Dark. And you can feel her power, her willpower, her strength, and at the same time, her deep, deep faith, no matter what is happening in her life. And first, Mary Magdalene comes close to you and she takes both of your hands and you can feel the waves of her heart, the waves of her love flowing from her heart through her hands into your hands. And you can feel the circling of love between her heart and your heart. And you can feel the change of energy. And as Mary Magdalene is not only the one who is connected to the sixth body, the arc line, she's also the one who is connected to the fourth body, the neutral, the meditative mind. Just feel her in front of you and go into your heart space. Feel becoming totally calm, totally peaceful, totally loving, connected to your purest essence, which is nothing but love. Be there in that love and be the love. Breathe in and out deeply to anchor this, to take this into your day, into your night. Whenever you are listening to this, and Mary Magdalene bows her head, greeting you silently with the most radiant smile on her face. And then she steps backwards and Jeanne d'Arc comes towards you. She stands in front of you like nothing ever can throw her down. But in her eyes, there is this incredible light. See eyes which can look deeply into the ground of your soul. Eyes which give you a power you never thought was within you. Lock your eyes with the eyes of Shandak. Go deep into that space and also into your third eye, which is connected to your arc line, your halo. And now feel the beam of Shandark, of her arc line, into your arc line, and feel the frequency of your arc line, your halo rising. Feel the energy flowing from the arc line of Shandark to your arc line. Feel the golden shield around you, starting with your arc line. So you are protected for your day, for your night, for whatever you need it. And just tune into these both beings. Then Shandark steps backwards. And know they are there for you whenever you call them. They are your ally to step into your highest destiny and into your deepest faith, into unconditional faith that everything happens for your highest good. And now breathe in deeply 3 times to anchor these energies in your whole being. And open your eyes again when you feel ready. Wow. Welcome back.
Thank you. Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you.
I thought this would be a beautiful ending for our wonderful conversation.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Isabel.
Thank you both for having me again. It was such a joy, such an honor.
So grateful.
From our hearts to your heart, we are so grateful for this conversation. And we hope to speak to you again very soon.
Of course, we do that. We do that. And I wish you so much success with this, in the right sense, success. Mm-hmm. So the right people who need to receive your messages, messages you give in your podcast, so the right people will reach will be reached by your messages. I really wish you that. And thank you for doing this in such a beautiful and humble way. I really honor this because humbleness, I forgot, just as the last reminder. If you're truly spiritual, you're also very humble. And both of them, Mary Magdalene and Shandak, were the most powerful yet the most humble beings.
Thank you
so much. Merci.
Merci.
Merci, Isabel. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Spiritorious, 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 spiritorious.